Welcome to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Buster Swoops and Michael Campbell. This week in preparation for Sabbath, May 11th, we look at Lesson 6, The Two Witnesses. Embark with us as we discover how the Word of God thrives, even while under attack.
The Sabbath School Rescue Podcast is hosted by Michael Campbell and Buster Swoops at the Adventist Learning Community. Together, we love learning and have 18 years of pastoral experience, and now we have the privilege to dig deeper into the study.
All right, Michael, here we are, Lesson 6, The Two Witnesses, and our memory text, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Well, we're diving right in as we continue this great controversy as we're looking at these two witnesses. We're going to find out about them here in just a moment.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a matter of fact, I say let's dive in. Sunday's lesson, two witnesses. Who are they?
Why hold back? Revelation 11, verses 3 through 6. And I want to pause and read this because the whole lesson is really focused on this. So to make sure that we really understand, it says, I will appoint my two witnesses and they'll prophesy for 1,260 days. And as we've been looking in Bible prophecy, a day is a year. We find that in Ezra and Nehemiah and other places. It's talking about this Bible prophecy, right, that culminates in 1798. But we'll come back to that here in just a minute. Clothed in sackcloth, verse 4, there are two olive trees and two lampstands, and they stand before the Lord on the earth. And if anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. Pretty intense here. Yes. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die, and they have power to shut up the heavens so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. They have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. So we have some really interesting biblical imagery here, Buster, that is important for us to kind of remember. We have the image of the two anointed ones, which is an allusion to Zechariah chapter 4. The lesson kind of takes you there right away and talks about the oil and the golden oil. Sometimes it's referred to, but the oil is symbolic in a number of different places. It's referred to or referencing the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enlightens us through scripture. So that's what gives us guidance. And spiritual life comes from this. So right. The Holy Spirit and scripture. And we find that in different times throughout the Bible, when God's people are not faithful, that there is consequences, there's punishment, there's plagues. And of course, Elijah is the story that's referenced here. And when God's people aren't faithful, or sometimes those who persecute God's people, right? We're thinking of Pharaoh, we're thinking of the prophets of Baal. They end up receiving punishment as well. So there's a lot of biblical imagery here. It's kind of really intense. It's really intense.
Yes.
But it's reminding us at the end of the 1,260 days or years that there will be a reminder of these two witnesses once again. And conversely, and we find this in Revelation 11, there will be those who stand up for what is truth, and they will end up becoming martyrs. So that's kind of a walk through this imagery really quick. I know we're going to unpack this a little bit more.
We are.
But I guess we should probably come back to these prophetic time periods.
Yeah. So Monday's lesson takes us there, Michael. And like you said before, I'm not going to go through every single one of these, but I want us to look at some similarities between all these. So it's Revelation 11, verse 3. Revelation 12, verses 5 through 6, and Revelation 12, 14 through 15, as well as Daniel 7, 25. I'm going to kind of work backwards here. Daniel 7, 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and he shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. It's important to note there because all these times are very similar. 1260 days. I have another one here that I really want to share. Revelation 14 or 12 verses 14 through 15. But the woman who was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Once again, we see that imagery popping up again. And there's this other one that talks about here it is, verse Revelation 12, verse 6, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And the last one, 11, verse 3 of a Revelation, and I will give power to, and I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days and clothed in sackcloth. And what's very important here, and the lesson does a great job of bringing this out there towards the bottom, says during these 1,260 years, the word of God, his two witnesses were clothed in sackcloth, meaning that they were hidden under a vast pile of tradition and ritual. So they were not clearly seen to the eye. But it also shares that even amidst the spiritual darkness, God's word was preserved, and there were those who cherished it. And we see the Waldenses, the John Huss, Jerome, Martin Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, that actually cherished this treasure. And so you see here, 42 months, time times half a time, 1,260 days. It's all alluding to the same prophetic period. And you see this laced throughout the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. And so, Michael, I want you to take us there now to Tuesday's lesson, the two witnesses are killed.
Yeah, so kind of picking up on what you're talking about, the 1,260 days or years, but one thing that I really want to emphasize, sometimes people call it the Dark Ages. It wasn't really that it was any more dark than any other time in human history, but it was spiritually dark. There wasn't that access to the scriptures. So that's what I think, you know, really what we're talking about. It wasn't, you know, because like you said, there was Luther, there was all these others that were trying to revive interest in the scriptures. But at the end of this, and we're talking about the killing of these two witnesses, right? There's something climatic that's happening. And there's a couple of things that are interesting to notice. And this is, again, referring back to Revelation chapter 1 that takes place in the 1790s. And that's the French Revolution. And this culminates when General Berthier takes the Pope Pius VI captive, effectively.
Ooh, yes.
Curbing the primacy and authority of the Roman Catholic papacy. Now, the reason that's important is that the church-state relationship is that people were appealing to the authority of the Roman Catholic Church, either the hierarchical authority, the authority of the Pope, or the church's collective authority in terms of tradition, appealing to the authority of tradition. Now, they would say scripture and tradition and the Pope. Or papal authority, right? And so what God's people had been preserving, that living witness throughout those time periods, there were many, many different people who helped to call attention to it. But during the French Revolution, you begin to see what was effectively a secular state, an atheistic state that replaced reason instead of Christianity. The church was placed in exile. All forms of Christianity were subject to the goddess of reason. And so, and in fact, many religious leaders were murdered and killed during the 1790s. So you see that there was this huge shift taking place. Now, verse 9 of Revelation chapter 11 talks about 3.5 days. Again, using consistently a day for a year, you should expect 3.5 years at the height of the French Revolution, which the lesson points out. The high point was the decree to abolish religion on November 26, 1793. And then later, when the French government removed these restrictive laws on June 17, 1797. So just right there at about right, really remarkably close to that 3.5 years that the Bible prophecy had predicted. But at that time, Revelation 11, verse 11, talks about the resurrection of these two witnesses.
Yeah, so it's very important here, Michael. Thanks for that segue. Revelation 11:11, it says, now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And what's really cool here is that even though the word of God is being attempted to be stamped out, to be wiped out, we see that God prevails and God does not allow that to happen. So it's talking about here, great fear would fall on those who saw God's word once more, becoming the living power of God unto salvation. And so it talks about a gentleman by the name of William Carey, who traveled to India and translated the Bible into dozens of local dialects. And the power of the Bible was just was sent all throughout India. And so we see multiple accounts of this happening around the world, even to this day, where the word and the gospel is being translated, it's being taken out to the world, and the world receives it, and which is why it's still the number one selling book, the number one read book of all time, because it is God's living, powerful word. Continue on with that sentiment, Psalm verses 119, verse 89 is coupled with Psalm 111, verses 7 through 8. I'm going to read 7 and 8 first of Psalm 111. The works of his hand are verity and justice, and his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. And listen to this beauty, Michael. Psalm 119, verse 89. Your word is settled in heaven.
Ooh, I like
it. Your word is settled in heaven. That's just, when I read that earlier, as I was studying, like, it just gave me goosebumps, because you just realize what we oftentimes think it's so incarnational that it's written to us right now here today. But no, God has a plan, and it has this verity and this truth that it was with God from the beginning. In the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, because he is the embodiment of the word. And now he's sharing that word with us in time.
Love it.
And so as I'm going through there and reading, and it gives us some encouragement here at the end of Wednesday's lesson, God's word may be attacked or suppressed, but it will never be eradicated. Even many professed Christians undermine its authority in various ways, questioning parts of the Bible or so emphasizing the human elements that it all but loses its divine stamp and God's truth is undermined. And yet, still, we realize that God is in control. He still speaks through his word, speaks to his word, and also speaks to us through his word. So that's what we're looking for, and that is why we hold on to the word of God. So, Michael, tell us about how the truth is triumphant in Thursday's lesson.
Well, this is a beautiful part of wrapping up this passage here as we look at towards the end of Revelation chapter 11. And we have our mission, what we need to do. And, you know, these two witnesses continue until the very end. God calls us to proclaim the living word of God, which is, you know, why I love the stories of providential stories of missions and God's preservation of his word and his missionaries and some who've even sacrificed their lives. But as the seventh trumpet sounds, we're reminded that Christ is victorious. Finally, sin will be defeated. Satan loses, Jesus wins. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful moment. And
amen.
I think we have to remember, you know, as historians, we kind of only describe the past, right? But what scripture does is it not only describes history for us, it gives a purpose, a meaning. In philosophy, we call it teleology. What's the ultimate end, the goal to which all of this points toward? And scripture gives us that purpose. And so that's why it's titled Truth Triumphant. I immediately think of a book that an Adventist wrote in the 1940s by that title. But I do think it's a very fitting title to describe the overall grand scope and scheme of this cosmic controversy, this great controversy that we know the outcome of it in the end. And that gives us hope. It gives us a sense of purpose and promise. And then finally, verse 19 talks about John the Apostle, the Revelator, says he saw the heavens open, excuse me. And what does he see? That's what the lesson asks. He sees the sanctuary, and the sanctuary is God's throne room. And so, of course, he's going to see the most holy place, because that's the heavenly sanctuary that we like to talk about. But that's the government, the seat of the government of God. And we know that he is a loving and true and moral leader. So it's encouraging to me to know that the center of it all is Jesus. And of course, just like the earthly sanctuary, we see in the heavenly sanctuary and the ark, at the end of it all is God's promise to his people, his covenant, and all of these things that remind us of who God is. And we can be so thankful for that, Buster, that all of this has meaning and purpose together.
Amen. You know, and I think that's the what I would love the audience to pull from this, which is purpose. God has a purpose for his word. God has a purpose for humanity. God has a purpose, an individual purpose for your life, but it's also tied to the collective purpose of all of God's people. So I know sometimes we feel like, well, this is meant just for me. No, this is meant for the plurality of us. The word of God is supposed to be meant to benefit all of us together. Meaning when I read and I study and I embodied it, you know, I body it, then I can thus share it with others, and it encourages me as you encourage, and we encourage one another, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. It's what I'm trying to get at. So please take away from this that God is calling you with purpose to be a part of the body and share his word and share in the glory of celebrating his word.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that we can have certainty about is his word is reliable. And we see this through Bible prophecy, the 1260 Amen. Days or years. We see that we don't have to kind of like manipulate historical events to make it fit, but they're there, and it kind of, it makes sense. It all fits together like a grand puzzle. And that gives us, it should give us some encouragement to remember and know that, and at the center of all, it's more than just dates. It's God's promise. It's Amen. His word to us. And it's his spirit that breathes life into our souls and our hearts if we will allow God to do that.
I love that, Michael.
Well, we've seen the two witnesses. One more step as we explore the cosmic conflict. So until next week, you've been listening to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast. We encourage you to join us each week. And until then, this is Soup.
And Swoops.
Signing out. As we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Adventist Learning Community, a ministry of the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists.
You can join us each week by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Also, make sure you share with as many people as possible. And be sure to give us feedback by rating our podcast and go to our website, sabbathschoolrescue.org, for each weekly episode.